You may remember John Shulian as the first sports commentator on Weekend Edition with Scott Simon. He left Weekend Edition and his job as a sports columnist for the Philadelphia Daily News in 1986 to write for television. He says he's been having a great time. He's written for L.A. Law, Miami Vice, Slap Maxwell, and now he writes for Wise Guy. We wanted to know what the transition has been like, so we invited John Shulian to the NPR Bureau in Los Angeles and asked him why he gave up sports writing in the first place.
Basically, I was tired of talking to naked men. I'd been in newspapers starting in 1970 when I got out of the Army, and I had done 5 years in Baltimore and a year and a half in Washington and 7 years in Chicago. And then I went to Philadelphia late in 1984, and I'd only been there for about 3 or 4 months, and I guess it was having to write about Moses Malone on my 40th birthday that sort of that brought me to the realization that I just didn't want to do this for another 20 or 25 years.
Had you had one too many sports metaphors you had to write?
Oh, writing it was still fun. That was the one thing that I took pleasure in, was sitting down and writing, but I did not like getting on airplanes or living in hotel rooms for basically 6 or 7 months out of a year. Didn't like going to the ball games. Didn't like talking to many of the athletes. And I just knew I had to get out of the business. I think sports writing is a very difficult business in which to age gracefully. I think too many sports writers find themselves at 50 sitting in a press box making fun of ball players who have speech impediments.
What did you want to write for television?
Well, basically, when I came to the decision that I wanted to get out of newspapers and sports writing, I just wanted to write. I mean, it's the only skill I have. I can't sell you a pair of shoes, and I sure can't pound a nail in straight. And I just wanted to find another area to go to where I could still write and make a living. It just seemed like a logical thing to do, basically. I think there were a number of people who were jumping from one form of journalism or another and coming out here, and I just decided to follow in their path.
What was your first big break?
My first big break was writing a letter to Stephen Bochco. Just before I was to leave for Wimbledon in 1985, and I sent Stephen a copy of a book I'd done, a collection of my boxing pieces called Writers, Fighters, and Other Sweet Scientists, which is now available at some used bookstores, and a couple magazine pieces I had done. And I just said that I would like to try this, and would he be interested in taking a look at my work and me? He wrote me back, and he wrote me back very quickly, quicker than anybody in newspapers or magazines ever did, and said, there are a lot of journalists who think they can do this, and there are a lot of journalists who can't. But if you're still interested, I'll send you some Hill Street scripts. Just let me know. And in the meantime, I'll read your book. So now I came back from Wimbledon, found this letter, immediately wrote him and said, please send the Hill Street scripts. So then I went on 2 weeks vacation, came back from that, and here were the Hill Street scripts, and a letter from Stephen saying that he'd read about half my book so far, and that he loved it, and that he would be surprised and disappointed if I couldn't make a go of it in Hollywood, and that as soon as he got his show about lawyers off the ground, he was going to have me come out and write a script for money. And 1 year later, in June of 1986, he was good to his word, and I was out here writing the 8th episode of L.A. Law.
So which was the episode you wrote?
It was one about a bag lady named Crazy Katie, and a trust fund for the poor people of Beverly Hills. And I guarantee you that there was not, even though I got sole writing credit on the thing, that there was not that much Shulian in there, because wisdom prevailed, and Stephen and Terry Fisher and Jacob Epstein and all the others who worked on the show really pitched in and helped me an awful lot.
Now, you're the story editor for the series Wise Guy now. What does it mean to be the story editor?
I'm executive story editor,
okay.
Which, again, get that straight. That's just a glorified title for a writer. I mean, we're all writers. You know, you can be a staff writer, story editor, executive story editor, executive script consultant, co-producer, producer, supervising producer, co-executive producer, executive producer. They can all be writers.
You co-wrote the second episode in the Wise Guy arc, and arc means, in Wise Guy language, arc is a series of stories.
Right, a group of episodes.
A group of episodes, right.
Four, five, seven, nine, as many as nine. It's we like to think it gives the show a Dickensian quality.
So this is the arc with Jerry Lewis starring as someone who runs a business in the garment. In the garment industry.
Eli Sternberg, a big mocker in the garment district.
There's an interesting scene at a banquet testimonial, and Lewis asked to make a speech, and what he does is accuse the guest of honor of basically extortion and blackmail.
Right.
It must have been a lot of fun to write that, because you were working so against type with Jerry Lewis, who on TV, usually when he's making speeches, it's about what a great humanitarian somebody is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that's the joy of the show, I think, is that, you know, we fly in the face of a lot of things that, you know, we just don't do things the way people expect them to be. We don't have, we have actors playing against type.
This is a crime series, so obviously there's violence in it. What kind of standards do you have to take into account when writing the beatings and the shootings for the series?
Well, funny you should ask. I mean, well, the first show I wrote for Wise Guy was the concluding episode of our first arc, which was about white supremacists. And Steve Cannell, who's the lord and master of the whole operation over there, walked out of the first cut screening we had of it and said it was the most violent show he'd ever been associated with in 20-odd years of television. And this is a man who's, you know, killed conservatively probably a million people on television. he's given us the A-Team and Beretta and the Rockford Files and, you know, just so many wonderful TV shows. It's a show really that concentrates much more on emotional violence. We don't have car chases. We don't have gun battles. I don't think we've had I'm trying to think. I can only think of one scene in which Vinny Terranova has had a gun in his hand this season. In the episode I wrote, I really wanted to show how random and spooky violence is. And we had three racist nuts break into a civil rights leader's home. And one of them, and he's sitting, and the civil rights leader was sitting down to dinner with his wife and kids. And one of the bad guys started yelling, "Don't hurt the woman and kids!" And the leader of the bad guys turned on his running mate and shot him.
That's a pretty scary moment, because you realize this guy's totally out of control. He's going to shoot his own man.
Exactly, and I mean, and I think that gives the show a lot of its edgy quality. And that's really something we strive for.
So now I suppose you'll want to write movies next, huh? Yes.
I have one screenplay that I wrote on spec during the strike. It's a boxing movie. It's gotten some nice feedback, but not enough to convince anybody to buy it. And I'm presently reworking it with what little spare time I have. And then a couple other movie projects, one about a gambler and the other about Red Smith, who was probably the greatest sports writer of all time.
Okay, well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us. Thanks.
My pleasure.
John Chulian is now the executive story editor for the TV series Wise Guy, which is usually on Wednesdays on CBS, but it's preempted this week. This is Fresh Air.